We've had a very good start to our chapels. I encourage you to listen to those if you missed them. Dr. O'Neill talking about the third commandment, and CJ talking about the teacher of righteousness. I want to talk with you this morning and start by just asking you a question. As we start this new seminary year, I want to ask faculty and staff, students, a simple question. What is the one thing that you need to take away from seminary? People talk about a takeaway. One takeaway from a sermon, one takeaway from a class. What's the most important thing? What do you think the profs would say? Well, I don't know for sure, but I think CJ might say Hebrew. And I know Dr. Kinnear would say Greek, because that completes Revelation and, you know, supersedes Hebrew. But let them work that out between them. Now, Dr. Gamble would probably talk about church history or talk about systematic theology. I know Dr. Pruto would say the one takeaway is one takeaway. That's it. I don't know if Professor York would say amen to that. He's to be announced, his takeaway. Dr. O'Neill might say the catechism, confessions, etc. Staff, Paul, I know, from what his struggles last year and the year before, guys with servants' hearts that actually would do their job on time, do it well as unto the Lord, instead of sort of the way students study, as CJ said yesterday. Say, okay. So returning students, I know they have opinions. Seminary students always have opinions. That's why there's arguments between seminary students, because you all think you know everything. Okay. Well, sophomores, even if you're first year students, sophomores, wise fools, okay? What would the chief shepherd say? What would Jesus Christ say? Now, I'm on very shaky exegetical grounds to say this, but I think he might agree with the Beatles. Well, actually, the Beatles might agree with him. All you need is love. Dun, 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 dun. All you need is love, okay? Seriously, I think Jesus would say that, and I think the Apostle Paul says that in probably one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. What do you need to take away from seminary? Love. Listen to the word of God. If I speak the languages of men and angels, but don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and understand all sorts of secrets and have all kinds of knowledge, and if I have all faith that is necessary to move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I dole out food to the needy and give away all my possessions, and if I allow my body to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I have gained absolutely nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. Love doesn't boast, isn't proud, doesn't act in an ugly way, isn't self-seeking, isn't easily irritated, doesn't keep records of wrongs. It isn't happy about injustice, but happily stands on the side of truth. It covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be set aside. If there are languages, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be set aside. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is complete comes, that which is perfect, partial, will be set aside. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But now that I have become a man, I have set aside childish ways. Now we see dimly as if looking in a bronze mirror, then face to face. Now I am partially known. Now I know partially, but then I shall know fully, just as I am fully known. Now these three things continue: faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love. See, love, brothers and sisters, is more important than spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not to be ignored, and if you don't have spiritual gifts, don't go into the pastorate or into ministry. But loveless gifts are gongs. I mean, just picture this. What if I got up here and went, gong 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 gong, full of hot air, a bunch of noise. Loveless prophetic insight and preaching, nothing. Loveless mountain-moving faith, nothing. Loveless martyrdom, nothing. Do you get the point? Spiritual gifts without love equals zero. Nada, nothing, nulla. Don't know what it is in Mandarin, you know, in your Indian. I don't know what it, nothing, zero. Think of King Saul. Think of Judas. Think of Matthew 7. Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do great miracles in your name? Get out of here. I never knew you. Love is more important than gifts of the Spirit. The graces of the Holy Spirit are more important than the gifts of the Spirit. So love is the main thing. Now, sadly, it's hard to read this without weeping. Think of what Dr. O'Neill was saying, you know, that third commandment. Who doesn't fall short bearing the name of Christians? We take God's name in vain in a way pagans never do. Is this you? Is this me? It certainly isn't me apart from God. Patient? Kind? No envy? No boasting? No arrogant rudeness? No self-centered pride? No irritable resentfulness? How are you in traffic when someone cuts you off? It's a good test, isn't it? How do you respond? Like Christ? Or may the fleas of 1,000 camels of 1,000 deserts become embedded in your nostril? No, no. May 1,000 camels of 1,000 deserts become embedded in your nostril. Our Christian ways of cursing. No curse words, but, you know, and all of a sudden, you who don't sing the Psalms, you're starting to take out the imprecatory Psalms and read them against those that drive against you. Love bears all things. In this translation, covers. I think the picture is atonement. Love covers a multitude of sins. How many people, my kids included, have been under my strong rebuke? You little sinner. Yes, they're little sinners, but love covers a multitude of sins. Love believes all things. It's not naive, but love really, really expects God's best. It hopes all things. It endures through trials. In other words, love just doesn't run out of gas. Where do you see that picture? Of course, it's Jesus Christ. 12 numbskulls. You think this incoming class is tough? I'll take this class over the apostles. You know, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's telling about, you know, he's going to be killed. He's going to be crucified, beaten, spit upon, rejected by everyone. And, well, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Peter, do you love me more than these guys? You know, you were boasting. Well, you know, I really sort of like you. Well, Peter, do you really love me? Oh, well, Lord. You know, third time, do you really even like me? See, I'm restoring you. You're going to get your martyrdom. You're going to be an apostle. You haven't lost. You know, I've restored you. What about John? Peter, mind your own suffering. What does it matter to you what I think of him? You see, everything else ends. Prophecy, tongues, all supernatural gifts, special knowledge, it all goes. You see, maturity or love replaces these lesser gifts. There's your Savior on the cross dying for you. Thank God it's him, not me, or one of your other professors. I would have called on the legions of angels, and you'd still be going to hell. Love incarnate in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he ends up by simply saying, you need many things, at least three main ones. Faith, please don't get out of seminary without faith. I came to seminary, not this one, another one, unregenerate, and I got saved. God gave me the gift of faith in seminary. And without faith, you can't be justified. You can't be sanctified. There's nothing. So you need faith, yes. You certainly need hope. If you don't have hope, you'll never get out of seminary. You'll quit after the first year. And certainly, I can tell you this, and the other brothers can, if you go into the pastorate without hope, you're done. Tanked, finished, finito, gone. Because when the pressure gets on and you don't have love, you don't have hope. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Well, let me just read a passage of the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is of God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. God is love. In this way, God's love was manifested to us. God sent his unique Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the appeasing sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God remains in us and his love accomplishes its purpose in us. God is love. Here's the solution to the Hebrew-Greek problem. The greatest language is what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speak. Don't know what it is, but that inner Trinitarian love and language is the great language of love. For God is love. And now he pulls you and me as adopted sons and daughters into that family. And it's that love you need personally and pastorally. See, that's the one takeaway. Because Jesus, who is the good shepherd, lays down his life that we can taste of it. And that's what we have to give away. So what do you need? Love. You need Christ-like love. And here's an old saw that I've heard growing up, before I was even a believer. People will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Love is the essence. You can't produce this on your own. you can maybe squeeze out a paradigm or two and pound it into your head. You can possibly begin to get decent grades on your own, but you can't produce rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. That only comes from Jesus Christ. Come to me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come to me, and out of you will flow rivers of living water. And that great picture in Ezekiel of the water flowing out from under the altar in the temple, out from the riven side of Jesus Christ flows the Holy Spirit, that other great counselor, to enable you to cover all things, to bear all things, to believe all things. You see, the world, the church needs more of this love, not a bunch of noisy, hot air preachers. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay? And boy, oh boy, if you want your sheep to hear a bunch of noise, go loveless into the pulpit. What's the one thing that you need to take away from seminary? Love. And that love is in Jesus. Let's pray, and then we'll sing 100B in closing. Father in heaven, we come to you, and we confess we really don't fit this picture very well at all. And on our best days, Lord, when you are working in our lives and we're not grieving you, Holy Spirit, and the love of Christ flows in us, people will realize there's something different about RPTS. And it's not just that it has conservative theology. It has the Savior. It manifests the love of Christ. Lord, we'll need this. We'll need this, Lord, as we will be, no doubt, very soon, many of us hassled for hate crimes because we're preaching holiness and righteousness and the truth. Lord, we love you. We don't love you enough. But please, may out of our bellies flow this river of living water. Lord, we do need love. Give us more of our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.